Radio in New York City, Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome back to Packer Transplants Live. I am Aaron Nagler, and I am joined, as always, by Mr. Corey Behnke, my partner here at Cheesehead TV. We are coming to you live from the LiveX studio in Midtown Manhattan, and we are ready to talk some Packers. So, Corey, what do we have on tap today?
Today, we'll bid adieu to the infamous, notorious Mike McCarthy.
Oh, man.
And look forward to the final month of the season wherein we get into the playoffs.
Oh, Jesus.
But right now, it's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good. We got
Kenny Clark. Wrecking fools in the middle of the line.
We got the bad. We got
Aaron Rodgers doing whatever the opposite of that is.
We got the ugly. We got
Mike McCarthy on his way out the door. His last game ever as head coach of the Green Bay Packers lands in the ugly column for one last time for a truly putrid showing on Sunday afternoon at Lambeau Field. How are you doing there, Corey Behnke?
I am good. I'm good. I'm excited.
You're excited? You're excited that Mike McCarthy is no longer the head coach of the Green Bay Packers?
No, I'm excited we still have a chance to get into the playoffs.
God, you got to
stop with that. I'm not giving it up. I will cling.
Stop with it, Behnke.
I will cling to the dead, lifeless body of the Green Bay Packers as long as they'll let me, even if they get frostbite.
Yeah.
I am not giving up on this team. I will never give up on this
team. Where were you when you found out that Mike McCarthy had been fired?
I was sitting on my couch.
That's dynamic.
I saw it on an NBC graphic.
Are you serious?
I was watching football.
Oh, you were Football Night in America.
And it was like, yeah, and it was like, Mike McCarthy. And then immediately I was seeing if
dove
you
into
saw
the internet,
it.
Right?
Dove into the internet, dove into Cheesehead TV, because you know we got to break that news.
Got to do it. I was at a bar. I had just ordered a drink.
Damn it, I got to get to work.
And then but it was a significant drink too. And I had just ordered it and I was ready to listen to some live jazz. And then my phone starts blowing up and I was like, oh no. And then it was the news. So I literally had to take this exquisite drink and just down it and then get home. And I shot a video on my phone.
That's not good.
It was probably the most viewed video.
The video
we had
on your
in like
phone.
A month.
That was good. I liked it. I watched it.
Golly.
We have a special feature.
Special
here
feature
at
this week.
TV. This is like innovative live streaming technology brought to your Packer doorstep.
It is indeed. And it centers around what comes next for the Green Bay Packers. Who steps into the shoes, if you will. Now, there are lots and lots and lots and lots of candidates, and we haven't even begun to even scratch the surface of who Mark Murphy might be reaching out to, who they might bring in, etc., who will be a good fit, blah, blah, blah. But we have narrowed it down to four possible contenders, at least for this week. These are four names that are getting a lot of traction online, so we thought we'd put it to the test, put it to a vote, if you will, here on Packer Transplants Live. Tell us. Use these hashtags that you see on the screen, that you saw on the screen there. Josh McDaniels, you want to do hashtag CheeseheadTV, CHTV McDaniels. John DeFilippo, the offensive coordinator for the Vikings, that's hashtag CHTV DeFilippo. Lincoln Riley, the Oklahoma coach, that's hashtag CHTV Riley. Or Eric Sleeping with Bieniemy, the Kansas City Chiefs offensive coordinator, that's hashtag CHTV Bieniemy.
And so we have those coaches' heads represented on our screen right now. So you can hashtag on YouTube. You can hashtag on Twitter. You can hashtag on Facebook. And we are picking up wherever you're watching. I'm starting to see the votes coming in.
Your votes are coming in. The tallies are being made.
And the coaches' heads will get bigger. We'll come back to that at the end of the show. But we'll just remind.
We'll check in.
We'll remind people. We'll have Danielle run the
graphics. If you need help spelling some of these names, and some of them are a little bit intricate, just go to my Twitter account. You'll see it posted there. I just posted the graphic that was up a little earlier. So you can use this because you got to use the specific hashtag.
Yeah, otherwise
don't
we won't
you
pick
try
it
and
up.
Get cute and say like hashtag CHTV Nagler or something. Just use one of those four hashtags and we will tally the votes throughout
the show.
And we'll tell you who the leading vote getter is at the end of today's program.
It'll be a cute graphic. Oh, the hashtags are coming in.
The hashtags are coming in. Well, let's get to some news. Let's get to some Packers news, because there's a bunch. Obviously, we touched on the biggest piece of news, which is the firing of Mike McCarthy. In the wake of that firing, Joe Philbin, the offensive coordinator, named interim head coach.
I liked your tweet about that.
You mean the fact that whenever you have a chance to elevate a guy who coached the Dolphins to a losing record, you got to take it?
Yep.
Yeah, well, you know, they had two former head coaches on staff in, well, three if you count Zook's college experience. So they made the choice of Philbin over Pettine. I think Pettine has said he doesn't want to be a head coach, so maybe that's what drove it. Obviously, along the way, while they elevated Joe Philbin, they passed over one Winston Moss, who was
not surprised,
who was the associate head coach, at least in title. Winston firing off a tweet yesterday that pretty much got him fired.
What was his tweet?
We'll get to that in blogosphere.
Oh, I didn't read the thing.
You should have read the post that I put up last night when the news broke, but I digress. Winston Moss fired out of the building.
Wow.
Joe Philbin's call, too, which I found interesting. But I heard from a couple people last night inside the building that this has been coming for a while.
Yeah.
The tweet was just a tipping point.
I don't think anyone's really surprised. Anyone who's seen a Winston Moss press conference in the last year or
so,
two.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone's surprised.
Not a
kind of see he was being protected by coach.
Yes, big time. The other piece of news, we don't have a graphic for this one because it literally just happened right before we went live, but Kevin King placed on injured reserve.
Yikes.
Well, that would explain on the injury report, today's practice, he did not participate. Last week, he practiced in at least a limited fashion. Clearly, there's either been a step back there or they want to try and let him just heal up for next year because his season is now over. Kevin King, the man who cannot stay on the field, will not be allowed to even try to get on the field for the rest of the 2018 season. One of the other gentlemen placed on IR, Ibrahim Campbell, the safety who they picked up off waivers earlier in the season, showed real promise. One of the better tacklers on the team the moment he stepped in the door. Now he's on injured reserve as well. So the secondary dropping like flies, as usual in Green Bay. But what happens every single season? We get to December, and whatever's going on in the secondary is not what was going on in the secondary at the beginning of the season.
Nope.
And then to take some of the places here on the active roster, we got Kendall Donerson. We got a draft pick who's been wallowing away on the practice squad, your favorite place, Corey. Defensive end / outside linebacker elevated to the 53-man roster. See what the kid can do. Although, do we really think this kid's got much if this is a team that's been in desperate need of edge rush all year and they haven't elevated him at any point until now?
I would say no.
We'll see. We'll see. Maybe he shocks the world, much like Kyler Fackrell did for a while.
Kyler Fackrell.
Until he disappeared back into oblivion.
I think he's going to have a big game this weekend.
Well, we'll see. The one worrying note along the offensive line, the men charged with keeping Aaron Rodgers upright, both Brian Bulaga and Byron Bell are dealing with knee injuries, both not participating in most of practice today. Let's hope they feel a little better down the line, especially Brian Bulaga, because nobody wants Jason Spriggs for extensive action. Finally, we've got Hunter Bradley, the long snapper, hurt on the very last snap of special teams practice today.
Great.
That's where this team's just rolling along in injuries here. They got a long snapper who's getting hurt on the last play.
There's nothing better than Mason Crosby blaming the entire missed kick on his holder.
Mm-hmm.
It's literally, you know what?
I sense someone's sick of the excuses.
This team has leadership issues, and they start with Aaron Rodgers, they start with his approach.
You said it out loud.
To how he deals with other players is starting to become a virus and a cancer that this team is. If Mason Crosby, we know viruses can cure cancers.
I'm sure.
Some viruses. So maybe it's a good thing.
Let's not do it. Don't go.
So
not down the. Keep it.
You
keep
gotta
it
think. The only thing worse than Mason Crosby acting like Aaron Rodgers is if a certain punter that shall not be named started acting like Aaron Rodgers.
Oh gosh. You mean the rookie?
then we're really going in the toilet. But the fact that, I mean, if you look at the look on his face, I should have screen grabbed it, but it's like, he literally is like, oh, I went wide right? That's your fault. Like, really, dude?
I remember, and what's funny is he was asked what he was saying to the
holder.
What
was he saying?
Well, he said, I said, I pushed it right. I'm like,
no.
Not sure I buy that, but okay.
No.
I guess I think what's on record here.
I think, I honestly think if we don't have a new field goal kicker next year, I'm going to be very surprised.
I tell you what. I'm not saying that's exactly where they'll go, but it's a possibility. Yeah, the guy is, you know, as far as cap space being used on a kicker, the Packers now heading into next year have more than anybody. Mm. He's not necessarily getting paid the most, but as far as the amount he's using, he's in like the top two or three. And I don't know if you can justify that with a guy missing this many kicks throughout a season.
A lot of kicks this season.
And a lot of kicks throughout the last couple of seasons that you would normally think you would make. Now, I understand.
Look, horrible conditions. Horrible conditions
on Sunday. 49 yards is not a bunny. I get all that.
You got one job, buddy.
But you do have one job. And you are paid.
I like the guy. I think he's nice. I think his family's great. I think it's amazing. But there's certainly more than 32 people in the world that can kick for the NFL.
Okay, but people say that and you say that, but then like you go and you try and find one, and it's kind of hard sometimes.
I believe in Brian. I believe Brian can get us a kicker.
Okay. Oh my gosh. Somebody says draft a kicker in the second round.
Come on, people.
People just trying to get you going. Hey, Corey, could you hate Rodgers more? Why don't you just root for someone else, says Randy. Sick burn, Randy!
Well, I hate Rodgers now.
Well, because you told him he was a cancer because of his leadership.
I think he has a classic in your 30s leadership structure. I had this myself. Yeah. You think you can do everything. You think micromanaging is the way to go. But lead by example. That's the best way to lead. And I wish I took my own advice more often, and I need to do it with my own. But as I'm now in my 40s, I realize that that is the true way to lead. If you just blame other people for your shortcomings, what the hell, man?
Right.
Like, get it right in practice. The game is not the time to teach people. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
I don't know. But
when you point people, if you're going to point people out, the best way to do it is in private.
Well, let's talk about Aaron Rodgers for a second. You're mentioning his leadership and his penchant recently for showing up his receivers, essentially like pointing at them and gesturing and angry and all this stuff after missed throws or possibly missed assignments by wide receivers.
Or somebody went left, they should have went right, whatever.
All of this. But, you know, Aaron Rodgers himself just is not right at this moment on the football field. I mean, we've got a litany of examples here. I pulled a couple. Gaff, you can roll the Rodgers stuff now, because look, this is stuff that Rodgers never used to do. This is a play where he's trying to hit Jones on that quick screen, and if he just leads him, he's out in front. He's got a caravan waiting for him. But because of the bad placement on the throw, it brings Jones back, and now here comes the cavalry, and he's done.
Yeah, that one and a half seconds is the difference.
That never used to happen with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, that one and a half seconds.
And I understand everyone is already probably out there going, oh, that's one throw. You can pull up any throw from any quarterback. Yes, correct. That's why I pulled this one as well, courtesy of Ben Fennell. These are just some of the horrible throws from Rodgers throughout this season, notably on these quick hitters to the outside, which used to be money, which used to be automatic.
Which are arguably some of the simplest throws to make.
Well, I mean, there are difficulties, and you can argue about the depth of route, etc., blah, 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 blah. But when it keeps happening again and again and again, and when the ball is being thrown at guys' feet over and over and over again, that's not on the wide receiver. That's the quarterback and his lazy mechanics and falling away from his throws, not stepping into them, not using sound mechanics, etc., which he can poo-poo and dismiss all he wants. But the tape is there.
But you can only dismiss it when you're making amazing throws.
Well, yeah, when
you're killing,
making up for it in other ways.
You know, it's
which
like
is not happening.
It's
right
like
now.
Deion Sanders. Everybody got mad at Deion Sanders because he would talk so much junk, but
and he
backed it up.
And he didn't tackle, but it didn't matter.
He backed it up because he got
coverage,
the interceptions,
and he picked people off.
He backed it up with real talk.
I mean, yeah. So Rodgers just isn't right.
I just think those throws that you're looking at, you watch Blake Bortles make those throws every damn week.
Yeah, and you go,
Blake Bortles. He's a terrible quarterback.
That's Blake Bortles.
He's Blake Bortles.
You expect that.
You watch Aaron Rodgers make those throws.
Who you just paid $1 billion.
And then you make excuses for him.
Yep.
Now, what I want to know is how long 1265? Because here's the thing.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
This is now a 1265 problem. This is not a Coach Mike McCarthy problem anymore.
No.
1265.
All the scapegoats are out.
The executive committee.
They're all out.
And the board and Mark Murphy have now inherited this problem. And so is Aaron Rodgers going to be the 7-year-old who makes $22 million on YouTube and does toy reviews? Or is Aaron Rodgers going to be, there's a kid who he's the number one.
I know. I'm just trying to figure out where you're going with.
Are you going to let Aaron Rodgers be a 7-year-old?
Mm-hmm.
Or are you going to manage or find someone to manage Aaron Rodgers? And are you ready for what happens when he's not ready to be led?
I think that's what Winston Moss was saying in his tweet.
I didn't see his tweet, but I would have agreed with it. I mean, that's the biggest question. Yes, who's the head coach going to be? Mm-hmm. But as soon as you hire the head coach, yeah. Like how much input is Aaron Rodgers going to have? And how much of that input is right. going to cloud the entire endeavor?
Right. I feel that. And then to his credit, he has said the right things in regards to not being involved in the coaching search. They are going to hire the coach. That's not Aaron Rodgers' job. He has spoken with Mark and Brian over the years, so they know what he's comfortable with, what his thinking is as far as on offense, et cetera. But ultimately, Gutekunst and Murphy will be making the call with Murphy having the final say. Mark Murphy was asked point blank in that press conference on Monday, will Aaron Rodgers be involved? And he flat out said no.
Yeah, but Mark Murphy, you ask him one question, he tells you three different answers. First, he's not in charge of the coaching search.
Right.
Then he is in charge of the coaching search. Then Brian's in charge of the coaching search. And then he has the final decision in the coach search.
Yeah,
which one is it?
It's come on.
You got the whole time.
Very straightforward about he has the final say. That has been the case since he hired Brian Gutekunst. And it's so funny watching people, especially in the local media.
I think he's parsed
into his business about, well, why aren't you handing it over to Brian Gutekunst? But that's what you are used to from 30 years covering Bob Harlan, Ron Wolf, Mike Sherman, Ted Thompson, etc. I get that. But like, yo, it's 2018. The landscape of the NFL is entirely different now than when Bob Harlan came on board and hired Ron Wolf and gave him all that responsibility, etc. Is it right? Is it wrong? I don't know. I can't say. Guess who gets to make that call? The man who is hired to do the job, Mark Murphy.
This is literally so Mark Murphy's legacy, I believe.
So far off.
Mark Murphy's legacy will be Titletown District. And
whoever he hires on this.
Thanks for letting me finish the point that I was making. Yes. Yes, 100%. This coaching decision and Titletown District are his legacy.
That's it. 100%. I'm like, no one's going to remember. People now don't remember the whole Favre thing.
No.
He flew down there, tried to bribe him to stay retired. That gets swept under the rug.
No.
I know we were all we were so heavily invested in it that you and I will probably never forget it. But most Packer fans, I think, don't even remember that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they remember the drama around Favre. But Murphy was so new to the job.
Yeah. Like, you don't blame him.
He was put in a really bad situation. He probably bungled it a little bit, but blah, blah, blah. It's not on him. Titletown and this coach, that will be his legacy. 100%. Because he will have driven the franchise in a direction of his choosing with the development, meaning that they will be financially viable for the next decade plus, 2 decades, whatever. And then the now results on the field will be tied to Gutekunst and this coach. And those will both be Mark Murphy hires. But this is my thing. And this is what I was talking about on Packers Daily yesterday. Can we let this guy just do his job and then judge it on the merits rather than this need? This is what you talk about all the
time.
That's
no fun though.
Right? But this is the thing you were talking. This is exactly what you were talking about the other day when you said it's got this infection of the internet where it's like, I've got to hurry up and condemn this thing before it happens so that if it doesn't work, I can say, oh, I was right. I told you all it was going to be horrible.
Yeah, exactly.
I told you it was going to fall apart.
Yeah, I said it first.
I told you they were going to fail.
I said it first. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Well, it's like, can we just let him make the hire? Like, yes, I understand you are really upset because it's not the way it's been done the last 30 years. Okay, fine. Duly noted, but you're not in charge. Mark Murphy is. He's got a contract that allows him to do this. So let him do it.
Yeah.
And then if it screws up, then we can say, well, that was a dumb decision. Look at the evidence. But this is how it was with Ron Wolf in, 1993 or whatever. It's, who cares? It's totally irrelevant now. Yeah.
So but you know what? I'm going to say something. You know who I hope, and this is really kind of funny, but I hope that there's a person that stands in for Lee Remmel right now that 1265 executive committee is talking to.
Right.
Because, and this I tweeted about, and a lot of people at the Packers like came back at me and were like, no, it's not happening like that. And a little bit is like the messaging's a little off, and other reporters have turned the messaging around, and there's been some twisting by Charles Robinsons of the world and whoever, right, who have kind of just tried to get out ahead. But I hope that history has already told us where this lives, okay? Mm-hmm. I spent the first 16 years of my life. And people, everybody poo-poos me. Like Michael Klink, who's watching us right now, he posted that we still have a playoff chance. And I was like, hey, let's get on this train.
Yeah.
The reason I am so much like that is because the first 16 years of my life were formed by what are the convoluted, ways the Packers could possibly get into the playoffs that they're not going to get into because I had nothing.
Because that was the only shred of hope you were ever given.
I had a shred of a shred of a shred. Okay. Well, I don't really remember that. I mean, I remember the feeling I had, but like that's a long time ago, even for us, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know, you remember that we were losers. Oh, yeah. You remember that we lost and we never won all the time. Or people would be like, playoffs, and be like, what's that like?
Well, remember.
What's it like to be in the
year
playoffs?
Infante, and they beat the Vikings at the end of the year. But like, they didn't make the playoffs, but it felt like they did.
It did.
Because you were like, oh my God, we won a game at the end of the year. And it's like, we came really close to the playoffs. People were in heaven. I remember being elated.
Dude.
Because we almost made the playoffs.
Dude, in 1944, we won a championship. In 1949, we were begging for money from our fans, and we raised $50,000 on a losing
team. Just to survive.
That then, from 49 to basically when Lombardi was hired, 59, I guess, 56, whatever, I can't think of it right now, we were the worst team ever. And then we were the worst team for even longer. Like, when you think about Lombardi leaves,
after Lombardi to
Dan Devine...
Holmgren.
Dan Devine
to
Mike Holmgren is 30 years.
Good Lord.
30 years. I'm 43. 30 years.
Hey, we could be on the path to another 30 right
Dude,
now.
In 30 years, when we're doing this show in 30 years, Jesus. Okay, I'll be 72 years old. And I'll be like, we can get in the playoffs. And you'll be like, you're crazy. And we'll literally be like two old guys on a
drinking
porch being
fashions,
like, I remember. This feels like 2010. We're going to make
everyone
the playoffs.
Counted us out. And we came storming back.
You're going to be like, put your dentures back in, Banky.
I don't need my dentures to tell you, Sonny Jim.
You know, look, we've spent, America is really good, just generally. Geez. No, generally, generally we're extremists and we forget history. And that's what I'm worried about.
That's
what I'm worried about. We do the extreme, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's what most Packer fans are worried about. I think that's what some journalists are worried about, judging by their line of questioning over and over and over again of the CEO who's already answered that question 400 times. But I agree, and I am worried about it as well. But was he okay? You've asked the question. Mark Murphy has said, this is the way I'm going to do it. So here we go. Like, the need to keep bringing it up, to keep, this is a total folly. We're going to find out.
You know what we should have
had? Whether you want to or not.
You know what video we should have had ready?
Oh, no. Which
is
one?
The video of him tubing down Tyler
Town.
Oh, my
God. My favorite use of that image ever, though, is when the announcement was made that Gutekunst was hired and you tweeted out, Gutekunst!
Dude, I pinned that. That was so good. I should pin that again. That's like excellent. A good tweet.
Okay, let's get back on script. And this is going to feel really kind of granular after all of that. But, Byron Bell, he's dealing with an injury. Are we not certain that McCray is a bit of an improvement there at right guard? And I'm not saying McCray has any great shakes. He's been a bit of a disappointment this year.
Talk about splitting hairs.
Obviously, probably. But I think he's a little bit better. I'm just saying. I think he's a little... Okay, Corey's...
Oh, I'm my just God. Saying. Is Justin McRae an improvement over Byron Bell?
Is he?
This is what I showed up for?
I think so.
Oh, Lord.
Well, we weren't supposed to get to the heavy stuff till later, but you just, like, launched into it, so here we go.
Because everybody wants to know about that. Also, I think we should reset. Danielle, can you play the graphic?
Danielle, put up
the
graphic.
Okay, everybody vote. We're voting. We're hashtagging.
Who should be the next coach?
Who should be the next coach?
Of these four,
we recognize
that there are... More than these four.
But these are the hashtags.
But for today,
you can hashtag on Twitter.
Of these four,
Facebook,
who should be,
or YouTube,
the next Packers coach.
You can hashtag it. We're pulling it. We've got almost hundreds. I can almost say hundreds of hashtags out there.
Hundreds of hashtags.
We're pulling them in.
And again,
I'm not going to tell you who's winning.
It doesn't matter if you're on Facebook, on Twitter, on YouTube.
Yep.
Use the hashtag
all
and
of
it
the
will
above.
Be tabulated. And you can see in the heads there, looks like right now.
Yeah, the heads. Whoever has a bigger head is winning.
McDaniels and Riley, they look to be neck and neck.
Nobody wants
DeFilippo. DeFilippo and sleeping with Bieniemy or lagging behind.
Nobody wants DeFilippo.
Well, good. We don't want no stinking Viking. That's what I'm talking about.
People are like, yeah, we should have had a none of the above. Next time we should do three and a no.
Never a none of the
above. We should do a three and a no. Get out of here.
Other.
We'll do other next week.
So, What can we expect?
Dude, that's
on
a
Sunday?
Cool graphic. I want to shout out to my dev team out at LiveX.
Word.
This is good shit, people. Come on. Come on. Come on. Good stuff.
You think dev team is your ally?
What kind of changes do you think we can expect on Sunday on the offensive side of the ball, Corey?
I think
what do you think is going to be different? Anything? You think we'll even notice a difference? Will it be like Mike McCarthy is calling the plays from his house?
It's going to be at home production by Mike McCarthy. Here's the thing.
How great would that be?
Dude,
how
Joe Philbin
awesome.
With
Joe
the
Philbin with the earpiece and McCarthy's at home going, okay, run
42 ride right. Blah, 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 blah.
Run that right screen.
Yeah.
That would be rough. I mean, you know, Philbin went out of his way to talk about how
that he hasn't
how much,
called in 20 years.
Now he hasn't. Well, I was going to say how much he loves Mike McCarthy and blah, blah, blah. So maybe they were like, don't worry, coach. I got you. Give me a call.
You said this the other day. You were like, how funny would it be, okay, if we start the game and all of a sudden we just blow them out by like 50-0 and Aaron Rodgers is just
looks
exactly amazing. It's like, that was the reason, right? And then that's going to be a whole meme and a
whole
thing.
Can't wait for that narrative.
Can't wait for that
place.
Narrative.
Oh, my God.
But I just don't know what you do. Now, hopefully what he does is he runs Aaron Jones. Aaron Jones is the best thing about the season. I'm sorry.
Man, it's Aaron Jones, it's Kenny Clark, and it's Devontae Adams.
And
those are the three.
In my opinion, Aaron Jones is the number one thing in that whole thing.
I don't care what order you put them in.
And I agree with you. All three of those. Yeah. I think MVS early in the season, you could add to that list.
He's tailored. He's faded.
The drops from the rookies. Oh, my Lord.
That was hard to watch.
Oh, my Lord.
That was hard to
watch. Drops.
I'm interested. You did mention that Philbin quote from earlier today. He was asked, Coach, when was the last time you called plays?
20 years.
You know, he has called in exhibition games, the last exhibition game when he's been OC in Green Bay. But like in a competitive game, he was like, oh, I don't know. I think about 20 years. It's been 20 years since Philbin was a play caller.
There's very few people watching this show that can even know what they were doing 20 years ago.
Oh my gosh. So that's not disconcerting at all. Let's flip over to the defensive side.
I mean,
here's
what I'm kind of excited about that.
Oh, but hold that thought.
We have nothing to lose.
That is correct, sir. That is 100% correct.
And Philbin has nothing to lose. I don't think even Philbin thinks that he's auditioning for
a job. Oh, no, of course not. No, I don't think anyone seriously thinks that's a consideration. However,
that would be a complete failure
on the
part of
1265. If they ball out the next 4 weeks...
Dude,
and they look awesome doing it?
I don't care.
It's going to be talked about. It's going to be talked
about.
Okay,
if they go to the playoffs, we'll think about it.
Oh, God.
Okay?
Could you imagine if they ride Philbin to the Super Bowl?
Oh,
could you imagine?
God, that would be so epic.
Could you imagine?
That would
like,
be so
miracles
epic.
Happen. They get in the playoffs. They go on a run.
So great. I would love to stomp on all the trolls this year.
Oh, God.
That would be so epic.
Oh, my God.
That would be amazing.
Come back from La La Land because that ain't going to happen.
You know... Why you gotta kill my dreams, Nagler?
Just saying.
That's all you do all day.
Speaking of killing dreams, let's talk about the defense.
Lord.
Okay, one guy who's not killing dreams, who seems to finally be flashing just a little bit. He still makes mistakes, especially on special teams, etc. But he has been playing better every week. And there was his sack on Sunday. I'm talking about Josh Jones, obviously, was, I think, the perfect example of how what he was born to do.
Delayed blitz.
How he should be used. Just down by the line of scrimmage. It was the same as that Cincinnati game last year. I don't necessarily mean you have to blitz him every down, but down near the line of scrimmage, sideline to sideline, going after the ball carrier, attack, attack, attack. That's who he is.
Yeah.
You ask him to play in space, use angles, etc. It's not the strong point of this game. So I pulled this clip of him. I love this. I love my favorite part of it is the feint at the beginning when he turns like he's gonna go into coverage, and then it's like a dance move almost. It's like Broadway come to life. Oh, okay, and there you go. So that's where he is effective, down near the line of scrimmage in the box. And now I don't know who will be the defensive coordinator next year, but if Jones isn't utilized in that way, I'm gonna be mad.
I feel like, well, yeah, I know you gotta let the coach hire the people. So I guess.
I mean,
I feel like Patton should get another chance. I really do.
He should. I think it'll be entirely up to whoever comes in.
Yeah, totally.
I would tend to think they'll do what Chicago did when they hired Matt Nagy and said, we have him under contract. If you want to keep him, you're welcome to, or you can hire your own defensive coordinator and we'll let him go. I think that would be my guess. But we got.
I feel like
ways to go.
I feel like the I feel like the jury is really still out on Patton. He only had the first year. Look. Yeah. The Packers had three third down stops and a fourth down stop this year. And that hasn't happened in over a decade. A fourth down stop at Lambeau.
Oh my God.
Dude, that was
epic.
They
also allowed like a billion third downs. So that you gotta weigh that on,
I'm weighing it, Nagler, but if you let me finish my point.
Oh, please do.
Patton has been doing this with a busted up 2015 draft, mm-hmm. a possible busted up 2016 draft, true. And who knows about a 2017 draft.
That's a fair point.
So.
Fair point. You do not lie there. You do not lie. Can I just give a shout out to Kenny Clark for a second? I do this every week.
God, you're a Kenny Clark fanboy.
You
That's
are correct
you
because he is such a baller.
You just drool over
Kenny. He is
Kenny
such Clark. A baller. And here's the problem. They can't hold up outside of him. Like, did you see the Cardinals, who haven't been able to run the ball all year, ran for like 6.2 yards per carry against the Packers. And it wasn't like jet sweeps. It wasn't tosses to the outside. It was up the gut. Because they know no Wilkerson, no Daniels. All they got left is Kenny Clark.
Yeah.
And they're just running right at him.
Yeah.
And if that was the Cardinals, imagine what the Falcons are going to do. Oh, I don't even want to think about it. But I just want to give a shout out to Kenny Clark because he still, despite all that, he balled out on Sunday, as he always does. He is a man among boys, and he's like one of the youngest guys on the field every week.
That's good.
Finally,
we need like three more.
Finally, I know every time I put this up, and I hope this is not spelled this way on the actual document. Hold on a second. Oh boy. Because I think I copied and pasted it wrong. But we need consistency. It's funny. I saw someone. Yes, good. It's spelled correctly on there. I saw someone in the chat when I listed off Aaron Jones, Kenny Clark, and Devontae Adams as the top, the three greatest things of this year, the three greatest players, your MVPs, what have you. Call them what you want. And someone in the chat responded, Jair! I'm here to tell you, man, Jair flashed in that Rams game. Has been pretty good overall, but whoa, daddy. There has been some inconsistency in his play. And you saw it on display yet again on Sunday. You cannot be considered the number one corner, whatever you want to call it, your lead dog, what have you, if you're getting beat like he got beat by Kurt a couple times on Sunday. And that's happened with some regularity over the past kind of 3-4 weeks. He's a really talented player. Obviously, he has my favorite play of the entire season in Minnesota when he knocked Adam Thielen into Stephon Diggs. That will be my favorite play for a while. But it's just way too inconsistent at this point. He's got to shore it up. I don't know if that's a thing of maybe he started letting the media hype get to him a little bit. Maybe he's not doing as much work on his opponent as he needs to. I don't know. I have no idea. I can't say. I'm not in the meetings. I don't know how he's being coached, etc. But all the talent is there and all the promise is there, and he could be one of the better quarters in this game. But right now, it is really inconsistently showing up.
Yeah, he's a rookie.
Yeah, and that's fair. And that is totally fair. And that's what you expect from
him. Yeah.
You don't.
I think that's why I don't think he's going to make the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, no, I don't think he'll make
it. I mean, the Packers are pushing it.
I'll be surprised if any of the Packers make
it. He's had some. That's sad.
Maybe Davante Adams.
Davante should make it,
but wide receiver is always tough. I mean, you know, I think Moore will make it because guys always end up stepping down or stepping out.
Yeah. You know, that's what's been historically happened to us the last 2 years. Yeah. Is some people don't go and then we get in.
And we get in. Packers get in. But, you know, that was a tough game to watch all around.
That's why we talked about old fashions for an hour, and we brought
to a close. We usually talk about the blogosphere being a venerable series, but you know, I tell you what, it was kind of sad on Monday having to come in here and talk to Danielle, one of our producers, who regularly puts together Mike's best and worst, and this was the last time.
Okay, shed a tear for Mike, y'all.
Roll it, Gaff. What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the final edition of Mike's Best and Worst. That's right, Mike McCarthy out the door in Green Bay. The best thing he did yesterday in a brutal loss to the Arizona Cardinals, probably his honesty at the podium after the game, saying he didn't do a good enough job repeatedly, refusing to throw anyone under the bus, pointing the finger squarely at himself. Probably the best thing Mike did on Sunday. On the bad side of the ledger, I think it's obvious, losing to the Arizona Cardinals, a two-win team, as a 14-point favorite in Lambeau Field, orchestrating one of the, if not the, worst loss in the history of Lambeau Field, a venue that's been around for a while. So as we bid Mike McCarthy adieu, try to remember the good. The bad is with us right now and will sting for a while. The Packers moving on, we move on from Mike McCarthy, and who knows, maybe next week we'll start Joe's best and worst, at least for a few weeks. Thanks a lot, everyone. We'll talk to you soon.
All right.
So, you know, pour one out, Mike McCarthy.
Pour one out,
and
people.
For Mike's best and worst.
Oh, and we got the coaches' heads up there. If you're just joining us,
let's go ahead and roll the hashtag
graphic so you can vote on Twitter, YouTube, or Facebook for a coach.
I mean, right now, Josh McDaniels has a
decent
lead. McDaniels
is taking it away.
Bieniemy is making a late push, though. Still no love for
DeFilippo.
Which I'm not surprised by.
I think, let's run this. There's the graphic.
These are the hashtags you need to use, CHTV and the corresponding last name. You, like Corey said, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, anywhere you are on the internet, we will aggregate it. At the end of the show, we'll talk about who wins for this week.
See them rolling in right now.
They are rolling.
And people on Twitter are like, why don't you just use a Twitter poll? And it's like, dude.
Who cares?
Trying to
be interactive show here, people. You know, just people gotta be stupid. People are always micromanaging the internet.
It's like, oh, why don't you do it the way I want it done? This is how I consume the internet. Yeah. You should consume it the same way, Earthling.
I'm so over it.
but we're not because we streamed all the platforms.
Well, no, that's fine. They can find us wherever they are, but we're not going to tailor the experience for each individual person. That would be madness.
One day we will.
Yes, and I will be dead. So that'll be good. That'll be fine.
That's going to be a machine doing that.
You guys go right ahead and do that. That'll be a lot of fun.
All right, let's talk about the Falcons game.
Do we have to?
I will be there.
Corey will be there. I will not. I'll be here watching it by myself. Unless I can find some erstwhile Packers fan.
We'll get more viewers.
Maybe I should go to like a bar.
Grassi said he would come on.
Yeah, we could call up Grassi.
We should call up Grassi and you and Grassi.
We could do that.
You'll probably get more viewers than I would.
I doubt that.
You get more viewers alone than when I do it.
I should go. I would know. Grassi and I should go to
That's too much
Kettle
work.
Of Fish.
Just come here.
Come on. How much fun would that be?
We'll just do it on my phone.
We're
It'll ready.
Be fine. Let's do it on
you
my phone.
You won't get internet at Kettle of Fish.
I'll get internet. I'll bring a pack and we'll be
you
fine.
You won't get internet there.
You're totally fine.
Oh, dear.
Anyway, so this Falcons game. Let's get through this real quick because I don't want to and think about it. Okay, number one key to this game, the Packers cannot beat themselves. Cannot do it. If they give the Falcons extra chances, they got no chance.
Yeah.
They cannot beat themselves this week. This team is too talented on offense. The Packers have shown nothing to say that they can keep up. They cannot beat themselves.
I honestly feel like because we have nothing to lose, we're the most dangerous team right now.
It's possible. It's possible.
When you have nothing to lose, you just chuck. We should go for it on fourth down every time.
Yeah. Or punt on first, depending.
Like if I was offensive coordinator right now, right. Like if I was interim head coach.
Oh God.
Interim head coach is the best, right?
Because you got no pressure.
There's no pressure. You're not going to be the head coach.
Nope.
So go for it on fourth down. If you cross the 50, always.
Yep, yep, yep.
Do at least two tricky things, yep. Maybe four.
Yep.
And at least do one onside kick whenever they're not thinking about it.
And do one deep shot per quarter.
Yeah.
Just do it.
Who cares? No one.
Another key, red zone defense. Because look, the Falcons are going to move the football. They are going to move the football. Stop your internal dialogue. It's going to happen. The key will be limiting the damage to field goals and not touchdowns. Red zone defense. And then finally, can they solve the third down riddle on either side of the ball? How many times do we have to watch them get the opponent in third down and allow a first down or reach a third and short on offense and be unable to convert?
Yeah.
I mean, you talk about a broken record. You talk about the same thing.
Well, how you fix that if you're always going for it on fourth down.
That third down doesn't become such a pressure situation.
On fourth down.
I like it.
It's like playing Madden. All they need to do is play Madden.
I'm sure Joe, I haven't called plays in 20 years.
He's playing Madden right now. He's like, let me catch up on this. What is Mike McCarthy's play calling?
What is this motion? You're allowed to do that? Okay. Yeah, I'm sure that's going to go real well. You ready?
Also, should we do a Madden tomorrow instead of Friday? So I'm going to be in Green Bay.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, cool.
Fine by me.
So we'll do an early daily and then a Madden tomorrow.
Okay, that sounds good. You heard it here, folks.
Sweet.
We'll do a...
I want to do a Madden.
Yeah, me too. Absolutely. So we'll have a Thursday Madden this week. Madden preview, which I had some people talking junk about my Madden preview skills, but let me tell you right now, I haven't lost yet. So just relax, people. I've got a better record than Mike McCarthy this year.
You lost.
Nope. I tied that first game, and then ever since then, it's been all victories.
I thought you lost a game.
Nope, not one. Go check it out.
Maybe you should have.
It's available for public consumption on our YouTube channel.
Maybe you should have lost.
Nope.
Because then we would have won.
I know what I'm doing. All right, Gaff, roll this nonsense. I'm sick of hearing myself.
This week in the Packer blogosphere.
This week in the Packer blogosphere, the return of that venerable series. This week in the Packer blogosphere, an actual NFL Green Bay Packers coach got himself fired because of Twitter. That is amazing.
Nice.
I mean, talk about living in a different world. And poor Winston Moss. Winston Moss used to have a Twitter account ages ago when he would interact with us all the time.
Yep.
Almost came on transplants.
Yep.
And then backed out at the last minute.
Gave kudos to the draft guide one year.
And gave us props for the Cheesehead TV draft guide.
Yep.
Back in when we very, 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 very first started
then
it.
Then completely went off the
and
cheese
then deleted his account because he knew he'd say something stupid. Or actually, he probably had said something stupid and said, this is dangerous. I'm going to delete my account. Should have stayed deleted, buddy. Because holy cow, yesterday, and I'm going to read it out because Corey missed it.
I don't know what he tweeted.
Winston Moss tweets, ponder this. What championship teams have are great leadership, period. It's not the offensive guru trend. It's not the safe trend. Now, here's the key line. Find somebody that is going to hold number 12 and everybody in this building to a hashtag Lombardi standard, period. Hashtag losing sucks. He actually tweeted. He put it.
Did you screenshot that?
Oh, you bet I did. What's crazy is that it's still up. He hasn't deleted it. He's like, you're going to fire me? Cool. Like, he just kept it there. And
well, he clearly tweeted that to get fired.
Right? You have to think, especially
after
getting passed over, associate head coach, not made interim head coach, blah, blah, blah. He's always been there because of Mike. He's been Mike's right-hand man. He survived so much staff upheaval throughout the years. Well, Mike McCarthy has fired pretty much everybody at some point, except for Winston Moss. So that tweet was all about, like, someone. But he put it out there publicly. Someone's got to hold number 12 accountable.
Mm.
I mean, Whoo, doggy. That is hot stuff.
Well, somebody, I saw some
hot
of the,
stuff.
I saw the, some of the bigger national reporters or somebody was like, look, when you pay a guy more than the head coach and he's like your franchise,
mm-hmm.
you got to think about who is in charge.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, or no, it was a good, it's like, if you're the employer, but the employee makes more than the president, then who's really the employer?
I love it when people get to the show late and say things like, King has been placed on IR. Birdman, we talked about it at the top of the show, but
yeah.
Get here when we start, buddy.
Show up on time, buddy.
Show up on time. You can hear the relevant conversations about breaking news.
Or you can just DVR it.
That works too. But Winston Moss got himself fired via tweets. That is amazing to me. I mean, could you imagine like Twitter when Holmgren was around? Could you imagine Brett Favre's early years in the land of Twitter?
Oof.
I mean, holy
he would have been fired.
Toledo.
There's no way he would have escaped.
There's no way Brett Favre becomes Brett Favre.
There's no way Mark Chmura or Brett Favre escapes
no
from Twitter.
No chance. Or any of those guys.
In the late 90s or early,
no chance.
Early aughts.
No chance.
No, there's no way. Even if one quarter of the stories are true, there is no way.
I know some stories. I mean, all you had to do is being at the filling station in Appleton, Wisconsin on a Tuesday night to know that some of those stories are true. That was a time. Those were the days. That's all gone now. If we had all that freaking little cameras and
little
video
processors.
Things in our pockets, oh my God.
It'd be over.
Oh my goodness. Hey, Andrew, thank you so much. Andrew Halsky just became a Patreon today.
Nice.
Says we
Speaking
rock.
Of.
Hey, thank you so much. Talking about the blogosphere. If you like what we do here at Cheesehead TV, if you'd like to support it, you can join our Patreon. You can become a patron. All we ask is $5 a month. That gets your name in the credits of this here show.
Yep.
And it helps support everything we do. It helps support this show. It helps support Packers Daily.
Yep.
The Madden previews. Everything. And for a limited time only.
You get yourself in the drawing for a t-shirt.
You can be like Jeremy, and I don't know how to say this, but I'm going to guess. Palais. Yep. Jeremy won. He was this week's winner, and he, much like Molly, last week's winner, chose a lot of ball game left, sure.
So there's only one lot of ball game medium
only
left.
Only one left.
Oh, man.
And then people are going to have to start choosing other shirts.
Choosing other shirts.
But congratulations to Jeremy. He, much like Molly, was giving it to her kid. Jeremy said he promised it to his son. So it's a generational thing here at Cheesehead TV. We like to support family values, such as winning shirts and giving them to your children. So,
there you go. And
great to have you on board, Jeremy.
And thanks. Then we have our winner of our hashtag.
Here we go. Let's go to it. Let's go to the final board.
And
who's going to be the winner?
And
Josh McDaniels.
Josh McDaniels.
Look at
little
that.
Little green and gold confetti action.
There we go. Josh McDaniels wins with, he almost hit 100. He
almost
had 99
hit 100.
Votes.
Almost hit 100.
Thanks,
Riley, everyone, for voting.
Riley came in second with 80.
Thanks for voting.
Thank you.
We're going to keep the interaction going on Cheesehead TV. So if you got any ideas or feedback,
stuff you
send
see
them
the show.
To
stuff.
Aaron@cheeseheadtv.com.
Aaron@cheeseheadtv.com. And if you're listening later on the podcast or you can't catch the show live, feel free. Always feel free to chime in, talk about stuff that maybe we didn't cover or stuff we did cover that you had thoughts about, etc.
Or why we're stupid.
Well, we get enough of those. I don't need to encourage people on that end. But we do get great interaction. We get great tweets, emails, everything. It's great. Messages on Facebook. We get tons of great stuff. And it really, it's the best. It just is great. So many Packers fans from all over the world connect with us each and every week. And we just want to keep it going. We want to encourage you guys. We love doing this. You guys are the reason we do it. Thank you so much. Corey, you got anything else to add before we wrap?
Let's make the playoffs.
Oh boy. That'll do it for this week's episode of Packer Transplants. We'd like to thank you, everyone, who connects with us all across the internet, be it here at Cheesehead TV or on any of our social channels. You guys really help make this a unique fan experience. And that's why Corey and I are here. We are, and will always be, devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide.
Is there any positive in terms of motivation for your guys, how ticked off they are about how this played out, any of that can be used in any positive way whatsoever?
I'm not in the mood for drama tonight, Jason. Okay? I appreciate that.
What do you think you told the critics tonight?